Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Okay, welcome everybody to today's podcast. Today I have someone awesome, extraordinary to introduce you to, someone that I met via LinkedIn of all places, and her wisdom and leadership over there has been nothing but inspiring for me and all of those people that I see her influence. So welcome Paris Cutler to the Human Design Podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. What a beautiful introduction. I feel so flattered. Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Welcome. So welcome, and you so deserve it. I remember you commenting on one of my first ever posts. Ooh. And the post itself came from such a heart space, and I was in such a place of like, screw this, I'm going for it. And I can't remember the exact comment that you put, but I'm like, okay, I like her. I'm keeping my eye on her. Your truth and honesty of the way you champion people, I just think is extraordinary. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very kind of direct, but I also try and do it with a lot of love and support.
Yeah.
It's all authentic.
Exactly. So, Paris, tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are today, because I know you've sort of taken a few roads. Why don't we start with what you're doing today, and then we can go back a little bit.
Okay. What I'm doing today is a role I completely made up myself. It doesn't exist.
Yay!
So I call myself, and I'm about to change everything because I was really struggling with what type of hole do I fit in? What type of title is a meta tag or something? And I just thought, screw all of that. What I am is I'm a blue sky strategist. So I help people define their blue sky and take it. So that means for companies, it can mean what's our way forward because we're struggling and failing to thrive right now. It can mean I've got a lot of clients, so I do a lot of coaching, a lot of consulting. I'm not a coach as such. I'm more of a consultant. People come to me when they struggle to set up a business and they're like, okay, I'm a lawyer. How do I make it on my own? I'm a communication specialist. I want to become an entrepreneur. I help people define the blue sky and turn it into a business. So that means what's your potential? What do I see for you? What are the assets that you have that you haven't identified? How do we package that chart up and market you? And not just do it. How do you thrive? How do you become a thought leader? How do you become famous? How do you become super successful? How do you make millions of dollars? That's what I do.
I love that. I love
blue
that.
Sky.
I love the blue sky thing because the thing that comes straight to my mind is focus. And what we focus on is what we get without exception. So the fact that you're actually helping people build that clarity and then implement and master, like far out, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, you just said it a whole lot better than what, but that's what I do. So that's what I do.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So tell us though, this is sort of a culmination of many years in business. I know the first time I ever came across you was Planet Cake. So tell us a little bit about your other highly successful business and that journey.
Okay. I've had a few businesses, but I guess the most famous one, if you want to know that, what people know me for, was a cake business called Planet Cake. And I bought a tiny little cake shop in 2003. It had one employee and it was probably big enough. My shop was big enough to fit about three people in it. And over the course of a decade, I turned that into like a number one national brand and a world leader in cake decorating. And I had loads and loads of celebrity clients and I had my own TV show and I published five books. And what I was really interested in was turning it into a mega brand. That's what I wanted to do. And then once I did that, I was like, okay, I'm at the top of the mountain now. I think the TV show was the final full stop for me. And then I was like, oh, it'll be just more of this, like more TV shows. And so I just put my flag in the top of the mountain and left it in 2014, much to everyone's shock and horror.
Yeah.
So that's my big business.
And you know what I love about that? Again, from getting to know you, I just think what I love is that you definitely march to your own beat. And I love that you go, okay, no, it's time, I'm out. And you're not overly influenced by what other people externally think.
No.
Have you always been that way?
I think when I was a lot younger, I was really influenced by what people think. That's why I went into stockbroking and became a trader, and I hated it. I wanted to be respected. I wanted people to like me. I was very ordinary. I've always been very average. I was very ordinary at school. I was a real nerd. I wasn't popular. You know, guys didn't want to date me. I was just a bit of a kind of a blah person.
Wow.
I really couldn't find my groove. And I got into stockbroking because I thought, you know, if I get into stockbroking, people will really like me and respect me and I'll make heaps of money and I'll be someone. And I did it and I still had the same feelings. And so I thought, oh, it's obviously the career. So I then did a law degree. And I thought, if I become a lawyer, I'm going to do something meaningful. I'm going to, you know, be a criminal lawyer and, you know, fight for justice. And still didn't work. And so that then I then thought, really have to go into what lights me up, you know, what makes me passionate. And I thought, you know what, actually doing parties kind of makes me a bit passionate right now. I was really into Martha Stewart. So I always had wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I just didn't have the guts. And back then it wasn't how it is now. Mm. The only entrepreneurs were like Martha Stewart, Richard Branson, and Anita Roddick, who started The Body Shop. Yeah. But it was a bit of a kind of a wild thing to do, to be an entrepreneur. So yeah. I bought a little cake shop. And with the idea that that was something I could turn into a brand, because I'd given up on the idea that I could invent something. It was all about inventions then. You'd either like the woman that invented liquid paper or the guy that invented the toggles on the end of the shoelaces. And services wasn't such a big deal. So I was looking for an invention and realized that I was never going to invent something. I wasn't that clever. And that I didn't have entrepreneurial skills in terms of being an inventor or a CEO. I had entrepreneurial skills in terms of marketing.
Yeah.
So without doing a marketing degree or a communications degree or a business degree or anything like that, I bought a little cake shop and then just instinctively built it. But people thought I was absolutely nuts. Like, to give up my law degree to do that, to buy a little crappy little cake shop and wear Crocs and sell birthday cakes. They thought I had lost my mind. For sure.
Yeah. You know what I love about this? So for my human design followers out there, Paris is a manifester and she is a splenic, she has splenic authority. And for those of you who don't know, like I knew this instantly when I met Paris, and her story is so aligned to this, is that so the manifestor is this person who's the trailblazer. They're the ones that start the movement. They light the fire. And the thing that I'm loving that this story is so aligned to this for you, Paris, is that as a kid, you must have, you know, you say you're very blah. And I wonder, I'm curious, like, were you just looking around at everyone going, oh, I have to be like this, or I have to be like that person, or I have to be like that person? Was that?
I really struggled to develop an identity. And I really felt odd.
Yeah.
I felt very odd, like the odd one out, and everybody understood the rules except me. And I really struggled, and I had all these crazy ideas, and everybody, you know, I was a bit of an odd bod, I think.
And you know what? That is so good, because it's classic, classic manifestor, because you're not designed to be like anyone else. Like, the manifestors are less than 10% of the population, and you guys are there to, you know, all the ideas, to bring the ideas, to start the ideas. So I think it's really empowering for my manifestor listeners out there to hear that you did get to a point where you've started listening to those ideas and your spleen, which is intuition. Like, Paris has, I remember Paris talking to me about how her process works, and I'm like, oh my God, you are so tapped into your intuition. It's off the charts. Do you want to talk to people about that a little bit?
Intuition with regards to business?
Yeah. So the way you introduced the way you work was very much about how when you start working with someone. Yeah, go for it.
So right now I have my dream job because I get to work in many, many, many different businesses. And what usually happens is someone gets sent to me or comes to me and they're like, okay, I've got this business and we're struggling to grow. Or they might be like, you know, I was a top lawyer, but now I'm wanting to become a coach, whatever it is. And I get all the brief from my client and then I just get this whopping great download. Yeah. And I can only do it once. So yes. I can only work with a client once.
Yes.
And I say, okay. So the download just comes like, and that's my juice. That's what I live for. And that's why I love working with so many different people now, because I get it all the time. And then I get like, okay, this is you in your most expanded state. Yes. And they just get blown away. I'm like, this is your potential. So can I give you a confident. I'll give you an example of a client that I work with that was working in mediation. And I was like, okay, I can see you as a world bullying expert in workplace bullying. And that's workplace mediation. So she was just working in family mediation. And I created a platform for her as a workplace bullying expert, which she now sits on. She's been accepted to all these workplace bullying. She's actually conducted groundbreaking research into workplace bullying, like all of this stuff. And that's part of my download. So I find their platform. I find their unique, what makes them unique. I find their voice. I find how to market them. I find their space.
Yeah.
Which is aligned with their purpose. That's part of my download for them. Yeah. That's what I love.
I love this. I love this. So for my human design people out there as well, we're going to do a little bit of an unpack here of why this is so awesome. So first and foremost, as I said, Paris has splenic authority, which is intuition. What is intuition, everybody out there? It's the information-rich downloads. So she is literally using her authority to empower clients to be their fuller self. However, there's something even more that is so exciting about this is that Paris is also open in the G center. And when we're open in the G center, it means that Paris can actually experience people at a soul level. Because she's open in that space, she literally takes in people at a soul level. And that's when you say Paris, you can see their most expanded self. That's something I say about my clients, and I'm the same. I'm open in the G center. And I don't know about you, but I have this crazy thing that sometimes if I work with clients, and often I become quite friendly with them and I'll see them in a social environment, and I see them behave in a social environment, I'm like, where'd you go? Mm-hmm. Do you ever have that experience with people? Because I feel like you see, when they're with you, you're so connected on a soul level. And then you see them out in a public environment where they've shut down. You're like, where did you go? Where did that expanded version go? Do you ever have that experience?
Well, I do. I sometimes do. I'm not very social, so I don't see them on a social level. I'm the least social person I know. I'm always
of course,
working.
Because you're in 2-4.
Yeah.
That's another part of your design. Yeah.
About me than I know about me, but I tell you when I get it, oh gosh, and I get it so bad, and it hurts me when it happens, is when I see clients shut down and become negative about themselves. Yeah. Oh
yeah,
that kills me. Yeah. That absolutely kills me. I'm like, don't do that, don't get into that fear mindset, please don't do that, because you've got something really important to do and I really need you to come on this soul journey with me.
I love it.
That's where it gets me.
Yeah, and you're such a champion. I mean, I know a number of people who've worked with you, and they are just off the charts incredible. Like, you're such an amazing human. I was going to say human. I just adore you. So tell me a little bit about you. Now are a little bit of a LinkedIn influencer. I love it. It's very cool.
How funny is that? I haven't posted for a few weeks. I don't know how much of an influencer I am. Listen, I'm like everybody else. I got onto the LinkedIn platform and I just thought, what is this? Like, this is a joke. I was not impressed. And I call a spade and I rang up a few influencers. I was like, what is the go here? This is pathetic. And if I see one more mindset post, I'm going to kill myself. Like, what is this? So it took me a long while to, I think that LinkedIn has a definite culture And it took me a little while to understand that culture, because I'm not as soft and fluffy as other people. But what I've really loved about LinkedIn is, A, how real it is. I've actually made genuine friendships. You're one of them. I've made genuine friendships. I've linked up with people offline. I've actually now got clients all over the world as a result of LinkedIn, which is absolutely mind-blowing. You're like from New York to Monaco. Incredible. And I think the platform is only going to get better. I think it's exciting to be at the, on the platform at this point in time when content creation is just becoming a thing. And in the next few years will be really interesting to see what happens.
Awesome. And what do you think the top tips for a rookie are for LinkedIn over the next 2 years? Well, I'm not a rookie, but I'm going to call myself a rookie.
You're not a rookie.
What do you reckon I need to be looking out for and that the LinkedIn people need to look out for or be doing over the next 2 years?
I think let's just address the most devastating thing first up. You post something on LinkedIn and you get 2 likes and you get no engagement and you're wondering what the heck is going on. I mean, you have to remember LinkedIn used to be a job search platform. So you've got two types of people in there. You've got B2B people and you've got job seekers. And so the content needs to suit those two audiences, one or the other. And then you're dealing with people that are mainly in business. So you've got to be making sure that you're posting at peak times. I tend to like to post in the morning or at lunchtime or late in the afternoon or at night. So not during working hours. And I would say really engage with people. The thing that people forget on LinkedIn is to actually network. So I say to people, think about LinkedIn like a cocktail party. So I make it absolutely mandatory to get onto LinkedIn every single day and like and comment on at least 10 posts, even if I'm not posting. The other thing I do is I direct message people. I loved that post you made, and really lift people up. Treat it more as a networking platform rather than just a content creation platform, because what ends up happening is more than any other platform, when you post, if you've created that network, they'll come and support you. So that's what happened to me. I was literally on there networking for about 4 or 5 months before I actually started posting. And then when I posted, I'd made all these friends. And influencers really do notice. So I actually really do notice, even though I get quite a few comments, definitely not as much as the bigger influencers, I really do notice regular people that comment and support me. And I will make it my mission to comment and support them. So that's a trick. The other thing is to do it regularly. Make sure you're posting 3 or 5, 4 times a week minimum. People think that that's too much, that people will get sick of them. But it's not, because people come on at different times. Keep your videos to under 2 minutes. I never do. I always break those rules because I can't stop talking. But keep your videos under, you know, all of the regular stuff. But I just say this. Do let your strengths be your compass. I can talk business. Like, you know, that's what I do. So I just talk business and I keep it personal. This is my experience. That's my example. I don't try and be something that I'm not.
I love that. Yeah. And I think that's so important, because the authenticity part is so, like, it just, the energy you bring to something, people see it, people feel it, they know if you're trying too hard or trying to be something that you're not. I think that's absolute wisdom.
And the one thing I would say, and it's probably confusing to people, listen, text posts do really, really well. The algorithm loves them. I call text posts my little birds that bring attention, but I do at least one video a week. And the reason for that is that's what converts. That's how people do engage with you and do learn to know, like, and trust you, which is the most important thing. So I do about 2 or 3 text posts a week and one video. That's my formula. Everybody else has a different one.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Good.
So I've just got a couple of questions for you.
Please go for it.
What is the best lesson you've ever learned?
I've learned so many.
Yeah.
The best lesson I've ever learned is when to say no. So
love a boundary.
Trust your instincts. And I've learned it both ways. For example, I did not want to do a TV show. I really didn't want to do a TV show. It's not my gig. I don't want to become famous. I'm not interested in TV. I'm not someone that likes wearing makeup. you know, like it just wasn't me. And I managed to, my ego and fear got involved because the TV production company just kept coming back to me again and again and again. And they said, listen, if you don't do it, we're going to go with someone else. We'll make them famous. Mm. And my ego and fear made the decision for me. And it was a big mistake. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, I expanded all over Australia at one point. I had a shop in every state, and this is a positive thing. And I recognized that I was losing control of my brand, and I closed them all and brought myself back to Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't need to make sense to other people. It just has to make sense to you.
Oh, I love that. It doesn't have to make sense to other people. It just has to make sense to you. I love that.
Yeah.
Something you said also, coming back to the brand, that I love that you said earlier about what you do is helping people create this mega brand. And I think that that in itself, because of the way you do this, that it comes from such an authenticity, and exactly what you've just said from your lesson, that it's not about ego. It's not about doing something from fear, but really I think you connect people to find their authentic mega brand as opposed to the one that people want to give them.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's really surprising.
Yeah.
So, for example, a makeup artist can have an incredible, inspiring, empowering message. Like one of my clients is an amazing makeup artist. But when I was working with her, I was like, you know, it's not about the makeup. You're actually about female and empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, that's your message. That's what you were here to do. Mm-hmm. The makeup is just the tool.
Yeah.
And so finding brands that's authentic to the person and their life story. So a brand is always, you know, I just need to look at someone's life, ask a few questions, and I've got their brand. That's the easy part for me.
Oh my God, I need to sign up for that session.
Don't ask me about myself though. That's a different story. But yeah, with other people, yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, beautiful. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Ah, the best advice I've ever been given. Paris, it's just a game.
Oh.
Just play the game. And, you know, every time things have gotten really hairy or I get too involved or, there's so much, such a big decision. It's just a game. Just play the game. Yeah. Like at the moment, I'm just playing the influencer being a, you know, game, and I'm getting invited to all these speaking gigs, and you know, it's fun. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying myself and I love it, and I love having something to say, but it's just a game.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Don't load stuff with too much meaning.
Yeah. And just don't connect that puppy to the ego, you know, like when it's a game, it's a game. There's nothing to lose. Just turn up and be you.
Yeah, and that's the big mistake I find people make, is they get paralyzed with analysis paralysis, and a lot of that is you just loaded this with too much meaning.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, the big message I have is feel free to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, people say fail forward. I can honestly say I have failed bigger and more spectacularly than most people I know. Publicly, newspaper articles about me. She fails. Like, you can even share them on, I can share them on Google. You can still Google them for me.
Yeah.
And you survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't die. Nothing happens. You survive. Exactly. It's all okay.
Yeah.
So I take, you know, have fun.
Exactly. I love it. You know, you're either winning or learning. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Winning or
totally.
Learning.
Totally.
And just quickly on the risk thing, obviously you've had to take some significant risks in your life.
Yeah, I have.
You haven't had to, but you've chosen to.
Mm-hmm.
How did you back yourself in those moments?
Back myself in the sense of like, how did I take that risk?
Or how did you actually get yourself to jump off the cliff? Do you know what I mean? Like the what was the mindset? What was the thinking? What was the story that you told yourself to go?
Okay, all right.
Maybe it's a game.
Yeah. Well, in terms of business risks, I find that fairly easy because I've got a really strong instinct with regards to business, and I trust myself and I can back it. I think we're all good in certain areas.
Yeah.
And so I've taken momentous business risks that other people would be terrified about, but I know it's going to work because that's my gift is business. Mm. But where I've really felt like I'm taking a risk and I'm emotionally invested is when I've had to put myself out there. For example, the first TV interview I ever did, or like with media, putting my my public persona out there felt really risky to me. Like I was seriously pooping my pants. Yeah. I remember being on TV for the first time and it felt like all my skin had been ripped off and I was just raw. Like I was just so sick with it. Mm. So what I did was created another persona.
Yeah, right.
And
good old every Sasha Fierce, huh?
So I did my Sasha Fierce. I didn't even know that Beyonce created Sasha Fierce at that time. Just to get myself away from that feeling, I created another identity. And it's so funny who I created. Like it's the least sexy person you could possibly imagine. Do you remember Yann Event, that like hardcore reporter?
Yes.
She was half Yann Event and half Martha Stewart. She was a serious badass. She got it. Shit done.
Yeah. And, powerhouse.
Yeah. And that's who I was.
Yeah.
And I literally would flick a switch inside my bread, like go boop, and that's who I would become.
Wow.
And then one day those two people meet. You meet that person and you become the person that you created.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I backed myself. Yeah, with feeling like I was taking risks that I wasn't comfortable with. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, my God, I love that. So what would be the piece of advice or I told you I can't just sit with one. Let's say two or three pieces of advice that you would give people listening who at the moment they're living the life they think they should live. They know that they want to take the big risk and jump, but they don't know where they want to jump to. They just know they've got to change. What would you say to them?
First of all, I empathize. And you feel really guilty about that. It's like, oh gosh, I'm so privileged. I've got this huge big problem of which privileged career that I'm going to take. But it is a problem. It's an existential problem because we all want to live with meaning. That's the big part of our life that's missing. So I totally empathize. I got to the top of my cake career and I just looked at all the cakes and felt like vomiting. I was like, what have I been doing with cakes for a decade? Like, am I this superficial? And they lost all meaning for me and I had to find a meaningful career for myself. So first of all, don't beat yourself up about that.
Yeah, love it.
Second of all, to find meaning, that's what you're really searching for. What's going to be my juice? What's going to get me out of bed every morning? People can call it passion, whatever. It's whatever energizes you. And it's not outside. It's not about finding something outside yourself. It's about looking inside yourself and saying, what do I get energized about?
Yeah.
Now, I've always been really good at that. And I don't give a crap what people think about what I get energized about. I got energized about parties. So what? I'm raised more money for charities with my parties than most people out there doing it professionally. You can turn it into whatever. I'll give you some brilliant stories. I have a friend that got energized about grass, not the grass you smoke.
Yeah.
Like grass, lawn grass. And luckily for him, his father didn't laugh, took it really seriously, like from the age of 12. And he went and volunteered at bowling greens and whatever with his grass. And he experimented with grass. He never deviated from it. And he invented a type of grass that is now on cricket greens throughout the world. And he's a multimillionaire.
Wow.
I've got another friend that, specialized in reorganizing closets, whatever it is, what energizes you, where do you lose time and where do you lose yourself in something? So that's your passion. Then you work out, how do I monetize this? Do I want to monetize this? Mm. After you've worked out that, all you need is a strategy and a brand and you start it off as a side hustle and then you leap. And if it's aligned, like the grass story or the cake story or whatever it is, it will take off. I promise you.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah. I totally agree with that 100%.
So. Yeah.
And it's that beautiful. Sorry, you go.
Is that enough advice?
I think it's golden. Like if people just, guys, rewind that bit, write that shit down and do it. Life will shift for you.
It really will. I promise you, if you do something with meaning, you will find the happiness you seek.
Yeah. We're going to leave it on that because that is the most beautiful way to end this podcast. Thank you so much, Paris, for joining me.
You're so welcome. I've really loved it.
Awesome. It's been lovely having you here. Now, we'll put all of Paris's details, her LinkedIn profile, website, Insta, and all that sort of stuff mm-hmm. in the show notes so that you can reach out to the incredible Paris. And you must follow her on LinkedIn and Insta for all of her wisdom. Thank you. And that is it for today, guys. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for coming, Paris.
Thank you. Bye. Thank
and
you very much.
I will speak to you all next time. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.